2 Samuel 2, verse 12 through 3, verse 11. These are God's words. Now Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David, went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now rise and compete before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." So they arose and went over by number 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. And each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side, so they fell down together. Therefore, the place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. So there was a very fierce battle that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Asahel was as fleet of foot as a wild gazelle. So Asahel pursued Abner, and in going he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Abner looked behind him and said, "Are you Asahel?" He answered, "I am." Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left. Lay hold on one of the young men. Take his armor for yourself." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab?" However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear, so that the spear came out of his back. And he fell down there and died on the spot. And so it was that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner, and the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Ammah, which is before Giah, by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit, and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing your brethren?" Joab said, "As God lives, unless you had spoken, surely then by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brethren." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel any more, nor did they fight any more. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plain, crossed over the Jordan, and went through all Bithron. They came to Mahanaim. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner. And when he gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin and Abner's men 360 men who died. Then they took up Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, the second Caleb by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, the third Absalom, son of Maacah, daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, son of Abital. Sixth, Ithraim, by David's wife Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. Now it was so while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and I have not delivered you into the hand of David, and you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman? May God do so to Abner and more also, if I do not do for David as Yahweh has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now, in the weak house of Ishbosheth, and Ishbosheth really was a weakling, he was afraid of Abner. Abner had taken one of the royal concubines, which is a claim to the throne. This was part of Ahithophel's counsel to Absalom when Absalom had his coup and had taken the throne from David and was to take the royal concubines for himself. And this was something that they knew in the ancient Near Eastern countries was a claim to be the king. Which is one of the reasons why it's so wicked that there are many reasons, but one of the reasons why it's so wicked when Reuben had done the same with Jacob's concubine. But even when Abner was making a play for the throne, last verse in our passage says Ishbosheth couldn't say anything to him. And the reason he couldn't say anything to him was because, as says chapter 3, verse 6, that the whole time that Saul's house was growing weaker and weaker, which means Ishbosheth was growing weaker and weaker, and David was growing stronger and stronger, Abner was becoming stronger in the weak northern part of the kingdom. And sometimes someone will think themselves very powerful as they become a bully in around those who are weak. There are men who are bullies with their wives, and they think and bluster as if they're hot stuff, and then they come out and engage people who are actually strong, and they're humiliated. There are elders who do this in churches, and pastors who do this in churches. Maybe even brothers and sisters who do that with their siblings. And they are deceived by the strength that they have, being bullies to those who are weak, into trying to be bullies in other situations. And they get humiliated. And that's what starts to happen to Abner at the beginning of our passage. In chapter 2 and verse 12, Mahanaim was the camp where Ishbosheth was. You see that up in verse 8, most recently in chapter 2. And Abner goes down towards the south. He moves his army to Gibeon. And of course, Joab, who is the captain of David's army, has to make a defensive move. And so he goes up and he meets him there. Abner provokes Joab, and he says, "Let the men compete." Joab says, "Okay," but it's a stalemate. Remember when Goliath and David, you know, Goliath challenged, he said, "Let the champions fight each other, send me a champion." And then out came David, and David slew Goliath, and the Philistines were routed. This time, it's 12 from one and 12 from the other, perhaps signifying the total number of tribes that, you know, who's ever wins, wins. But it's a draw. Because they all die in what comes to be, you know, sharp sword field. And so since it's a draw, the whole army's battle. Doesn't go well for Abner. In fact, the only thing that that slows the men of Judah down is when Asahel was too fast and got himself killed. And at that point, the men of Judah are slowed down, not from weariness and not from difficulty in fighting the Israelites. Apparently, the northerners were not very hard to fight at all, since they only took 19 total, including Asahel, and the southerners killed 360. So it's going very badly, and when the southern army slows down over the body of Asahel, Abner is finally able to consolidate what's left of his men up on top of a hill and yells down, "Joab, you meanie, how come you keep on battling me?" Well, the New King James translation isn't very helpful. Joab's response is something like, "Even if you hadn't said anything, we would have stopped pursuing you by some time in the morning. You know, we're only pursuing you as a defensive military act because you provoked us. And then you're the one who initiated the battle. And we were just going to chase you back home. And then we would return." So when Abner says, "Uncle, uncle, you meanie, please stop," Joab blows his horn and says, "Okay, men, we can go home." Abner overestimated himself. He did not take into account the battle-strengthened, battle-hardened men of Judah. But there's something else that he didn't take into account that he obviously knew. Look at chapter 3, verse 9. "May God do so to Abner and more also if I do not do for David as Yahweh has sworn to him." Here's a man who knew that Yahweh, the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, the covenant God of Israel, God Almighty, had sworn that the kingdom would be David's from Dan to Beersheba, northernmost city in Israel to the southernmost city in Israel. And yet, he enjoyed Ishbosheth ruling 10 tribes, 11 tribes, he still had Benjamin. He enjoyed Ishbosheth ruling 11 tribes from Mahanaim because that was a place where he could be strong for a while. Scripture tells us that the wicked know in their hearts that God exists, that they are violators of God's law, that they deserve his wrath. In the gospel, the righteousness of God for those who believe is revealed. The wrath of God against unrighteousness doesn't have to be revealed in the gospel because it's already revealed in the creation and in the hearts of unbelievers. But they are so determined to enjoy their little season of power and their little season of pleasure that they resist the kingdom of God's anointed king. And nations rage, and kings and peoples plot in vain, while God mocks them with scorn from heaven and says, "It all belongs to my anointed." But I'm afraid, my dear children, that we often do similar. Every time you or I think or speak or act in a way that pleases self, instead of a way that pleases Christ, we who know even more and are more therefore culpable and guilty of him to whom much is given, much is required, we know the kingship of Christ. And yet we are deceived by our temporary ability in small ways to exert our will and get our way. We don't see ourselves as fools and wicked, like Abner here. But the Bible shows us what Abner's like. Not just so that we can rejoice that Jesus will overcome all of his and our enemies, surely he will. But also that we can be reminded how foolish it is if we know what Yahweh has sworn, if we know that Jesus is king, when we live as pleases us instead of as pleases him. The Lord grant us to be more mindful of the kingship of Christ, that we would not be deceived into thinking we can get away with things, or into doing them even if we know that we can't get away with them. God help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the way that you protected and strengthened David and brought about what you had promised and sworn. We praise you that you are the God who always does exactly as you have promised and sworn, and especially that you have given the kingdom of heaven and earth all to the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And we pray that your Spirit would keep us soft-hearted towards him, and that when we have areas and positions where we have influence and ability and perhaps even power over others, that you would make us to live as those who are serving Christ in whatever position you have placed us. So grant us to be mindful of his kingship at all times, and grant your Spirit's work in our hearts to keep us submitted to him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.